Welcome to this week's edition of Flashback Friday, which also happens to be a 10th episode. Those of you who subscribe regularly to the podcast know that every 10th episode, Jason goes off topic and brings you something outside of the real estate space that actually affects the real estate space in the long run. Of course, Flashback Friday is your opportunity to get some good review by listening to episodes from the past that Jason has handpicked to help you today in the present and propel you into the future. Enjoy.
Welcome to Creating Wealth with Jason Hartman. During this program, Jason is going to tell you some really exciting things that you probably haven't thought of before, and a new slant on investing. Fresh new approaches to America's best investment that will enable you to create more wealth and happiness than you ever thought possible. Jason is a genuine, self-made multimillionaire who not only talks the talk, but walks the walk. He's been a successful investor for 20 years and currently owns properties in 11 states and 17 cities. This program will help you follow in Jason's footsteps on the road to financial freedom. You really can do it. And now, here's your host, Jason Hartman, with the complete solution for real estate investors.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show. This is your host, Jason Hartman, and we are at a 10th show today, episode number 530, episode 530. Our guest today will be the ever so famous Bob Proctor. You've certainly heard his name, I'm sure. He is a very well-known success coach. You know, involved with The Secret, many books and programs and so forth, and just a really good interview with him as we talk about all of the mindsets necessary for success and growth and abundance in our lives. So we'll get to him in a moment, but first, I am coming to you today from the beautiful Hilton La Jolla, California, and I've been at a mastermind meeting here for the last couple of days. I'm with Fernando. We are out on the golf course. And also we have Coco, my dog, here. Coco, say hello. Can you say something? No, she's not saying anything, is she, Fernando?
She's holding her,
I think she might speak because she seems very intrigued by these birds and animals here and movement, a little bit of wind too. So anyway, Fernando, I wanted to get a little bit of a recap and your thoughts on our Venture Alliance Mastermind, our first inaugural weekend that we finished Sunday afternoon. Comments?
I enjoyed it quite a bit. It was, as you said, it was the inaugural event. The venue was beautiful. San Diego was just very nice. And the venues, you know, the meals that we shared together, I think were top of the line. I really enjoyed it. The meetings were very productive. The comments that I received and personally what I thought was the most helpful part of the mastermind is really having people do the round robin on the hot seats and explain to the group where they are, what their aspirations are, and ideas on how to go forward with their portfolio. I think that helps everyone in the group, not just the person that is in the hot seat. And it really brings a sense of community and a sense of
intimacy.
Intimacy
would be my word, yeah.
Yeah, that you don't see in a larger group. It was a smaller group, and I think it was just the right number of people and the correct format for gelling to occur between the members. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yeah. Good stuff. You know, I got to tell you, you don't know that I'm going to say this, but one of the highlights for me, in addition to what I already mentioned on the last episode's intro, you know, of course, the hot seats were fantastic. The venues, all of the venues were fantastic. But I tell you, one of the highlights for me, Fernando, was seeing the expression on your face as you and your lovely wife walked in to George's in La Jolla for lunch. and what was especially intriguing is, you know, you're a wealthy guy, okay? You know, you've been to beautiful places around the world and nice restaurants and so forth, but I wish I had a camera for it, because the expression on your face when you walked out on that terrace at George's and you just said, "Beautiful."
We were very impressed. I mean, I haven't been to La Jolla, and it was just the views and you know, one of the things that we did that was kind of unexpected was a Segway ride.
Yeah, right.
And you know, we got to ride along the coast just beautiful scenery, mm-hmm. and just it was very enjoyable. I mean, we my wife and I both had a great time. The events were just about the right, intensity mm-hmm. for the group to really get to talk a lot, and really the networking and getting to know people at a deeper level is a big part of the mastermind. Mm-hmm. You don't see that in other formats.
Yeah, it's a deep personal level, that community, that, you know, as I always say, the stock and trade of friendship is shared experiences. And so one of my big goals with the Venture Alliance Mastermind is to have people share experiences together so that they can, if they choose to, you know, there's no requirement to, it's just a one-off thing, so that they can do deals together, so they can invest together. That's the idea. Get people to be in this friendly, intimate, community-oriented environment so that they really know each other. Because, you know, on the spectrum of investing, you have what I believe in and still believe in and have believed in for many, many years is that people should be a direct investor so they don't violate commandment number three, so they don't leave themselves susceptible to the three major problems. So the three problems with not being a direct investor is, you know, might be investing with a crook, an idiot, or someone taking all the money off the top. So the way that the people get to vet each other is they hear them speak. They hear them share. They know their level of experience. They know where they are. They know their level of intelligence. And so when they do deals together, you know, it's hopefully they trust each other and, you know, they vet them that way by just the personal relationship of knowing them. They know their level of competence. And then also, you know, there's not a management fee off the top, any big management fee of a fund manager. So like in a Wall Street or a traded investment. So that's really my goal for the Venture Alliance, to create this environment for people to do deals together. Now, of course, at, you know, our normal events, Meet the Masters, Creating Wealth, you know, we've had clients get together at those events. And I highly recommend, and, you know, those are super inexpensive, that people just attend some of those live events so that they can meet us, they can meet our clients, and go from there. So, yeah, that's good. Other comments on that before we get to our guest today, Bob Proctor?
Well, just to kind of round off the weekend, the Venture Alliance, we had a guest come in to talk and give a perspective on his own mastermind. I think that was very useful.
And we're at his mastermind the last 3 days here.
Exactly. Yeah. We're going through, which is an excellent event.
We've had 5 days of masterminding here in a row, you know, at Fernando. Yeah. We had the Venture Alliance over the weekend, and then Monday morning we started here at the La Jolla Hilton with another mastermind.
Right.
And this is the third and final day of it.
And I think by the time we're done this week, our brains are going to be full. We're going to have to really pick. There's so many nuggets, and I hear this from people that were there, and I can see it myself, where you learn so much, and perhaps it won't just give you an idea right away, but it will go into your radar screen, and maybe a few months from now, something that somebody mentioned will trigger, and you're ready to take advantage of that.
It germinates.
Yeah.
You know, the seed is planted. Sometimes it's even planted subconsciously.
Yep.
A lot of it is in that way. It's the concept of not even a specific idea or technique, but the concept of you can do it too, because you see all these people around you and you see what they're doing, and you know, they're just regular people who happen to take action on something. And people have different size portfolios, different businesses, different investments. And so that, I think that's another part of it, not just a specific
yeah.
idea or technique, right?
Yeah. And of course, as far as the business at hand, you presented a couple of packages. Oliver did a great job presenting one of the packages. You presented yours.
And when you say package, I just wanted to find that for the listeners who obviously weren't there. Most people weren't. I presented a couple of deals that I'm working on to the Venture Alliance. One of them really interesting and exciting, but kind of speculative. Like, I would never present that on the podcast or at one of our, you know, bigger public seminars. It's specifically for this kind of exclusive group. That's a real exciting potential giant home run that, you know, could be an $8 million investment that turns into, who the heck knows, maybe it's a $40 million investment or $40 million cash out deal on that. So, you know, who knows what it might turn into? Could be a flop. I don't know. You know, it's a speculative deal, like I said. But occasionally some speculative deals could be home runs with proper due diligence and research, obviously, you know, not totally speculative. And then Oliver, our analyst for the Venture Alliance, he presented a portfolio of homes, right. You know, and I can't remember how many were in that one. Was it 30, 40 houses or something?
I don't remember either. Exactly.
But yeah, you know, he looked at that. So that's what you were saying.
Yeah, I think that was very interesting. And again, people don't get to see these deals if you're not part of that community. You know, it's very difficult for these larger deals to show up in front of you. And with the guidance and the filtering that happens for them to even be presented, it comes with value. You know, if I have it vetted by people that have been in the business for a while or people that are involved in real estate, I feel very differently about how the deal might make sense for me or not. I would never just go out there and try to find this on my own. It would just be too speculative. So another piece that we did is we presented our vision for the company that we are forming together, and I got good feedback out of that as well.
The software company.
Software company. I think that was very valuable. And we also presented that at this mastermind, and we got very valuable feedback.
A different kind of feedback.
Just different angles. And, you know, the intimacy and the networking, the level of trust that happens through a mastermind really pays for itself when you get that straight feedback. And you're not looking for people just to shake their heads and agree with you. You're looking for truth. Does this make sense?
That's what happens when you deal with vendors, contractors, and employees. They tend to nod their head yes. They're kind of the yes man syndrome, right? But here, when someone doesn't have a direct stake in it, you're going to get some constructive criticism, and that's what's good. The other amazing thing about our Venture Alliance meeting is that, like, you know, you can present something and someone will throw out just one little nugget, one little resource, one little connection. Oh, I know so-and-so and I can introduce you to them. And that one little thing could be worth, you know, $500,000.
Exactly.
You know, it's amazing.
Well, we just had an example today.
Right.
Right. One of the members, Corey, mentioned one of the companies that I work with that does rent collection. And what did he say? He can save $400 to $500 a month or something like that, just from that little comment.
Yeah.
And that is awesome. I obviously learned quite a bit, especially from him.
Right.
But it's just an example of the exchange that happens during these masterminds.
I think that summed it up pretty well. So we're not going to talk about Venture Alliance on every podcast. Don't worry, folks. We just came off that weekend and we've been at this other mastermind. So we're kind of jazzed up about it. But and last but not least, before we get to Bob Proctor, our guest today, I want to let you know that Fernando and I are headed to Chicago and Grand Rapids, two markets of ours, one where we've got some interesting land contract opportunities in Grand Rapids, some interesting single-family home investment opportunities in the greater Chicago area, and we are headed there next month. We will be there in July, and this is not a formal property tour. We were trying to plan one for somewhere around July 25th, but it just isn't coming together for us for various reasons. So what we wanted to do is something a little different, kind of along the lines of our private tour option, which some of you have taken us up on, where I go meet you in a city or another investment counselor meets you in a city and we do a private property tour for you. This won't exactly be that, but it'll be a little bit of we'll call it a hangout tour type thing. We're going to be there. We figured if a few of our listeners want to come along and join us, we might as well have that. We're going to put something on the website with very reasonable pricing if you want to join us, and we'll probably start in Chicago and then we'll head over to Grand Rapids. That's about a 3-hour drive. It's probably a very pretty drive because you go right around the Great Lake. So I think that'll be neat. And you can just join us and hang out with us for a few days. Fernando, do you have the exact dates on that?
Yes, it will be July 16th through the 19th. The 19th is Sunday, and the 16th is Thursday. So it might be a good idea to plan on getting there late on the 15th, which is Wednesday. We would then take advantage of the full day on the 16th and then 17th and 18th. And then on the 19th, we would wrap it up, which is Sunday. After the event, Jason and I are going to another mastermind meeting.
In San Diego. Yeah, back here. Yeah.
So we're flying back Sunday night from Chicago to San Diego. So these are the dates.
My life is starting to feel like one giant mastermind meeting.
You're going to be the master of your mind, so.
There you go. Hey, Napoleon Hill was right. These things are so valuable. I just cannot believe it. It just can cut years off your learning curve and your success and growth curve. So it's really a great thing. Anyway, hey, thanks. Let's get to our guest, Bob Proctor, today. Check the website, jasonhartman.com, for updates on our Chicago, for lack of a better name, hangout and tour, an informal property tour, no seminar, just an informal hangout with us and tour around, and we will go from there. Okay. Remember, you're listening to Flashback Friday. Our new episodes are published every Monday and Wednesday. Here's Bob Proctor, and let's talk about success. It's a 10th show. It's my pleasure to welcome Bob Proctor to the show. You've probably heard his name. He is chairman and co-founder of the Proctor Gallagher Institute, author of many best-selling books, including Spiritual Marketing, a proven 5-step formula for easily creating wealth from the inside out. Also, You Were Born Rich. Now You Can Discover and Develop Those Riches. Author of the new book, The ABCs of Success, The Essential Principles from America's Greatest Prosperity Teacher. Bob, welcome. How are you?
I'm just doing great, Jason. Thanks for having me on your show.
It's good to have you, and you're coming to us today from Toronto, Canada. Is that correct?
I am in Toronto. That's right. I'll be in Phoenix tomorrow by noon.
Oh, there you go. Well, you know, Bob, I've been following your work for many, many years. You know, how long have you been doing what you do?
55 years.
Oh, that's a long time.
By almost anybody's standards, I guess.
It sure is. And I think maybe the Dean of Personal Development moniker needs to switch from Earl Nightingale to you, possibly, given that length of time. So that's great. Good stuff. Tell us a little bit about your general philosophy of success. I mean, you know, your body of work is so large. How many books do you have, by the way?
Oh, I don't have that many books. I'm more into programs. I've only got 3 or 4 books, but I've got a lot of different programs that I put out where there's instructional work showing people how to recognize who they are, how to change their self-image, how to change their paradigm, how to set proper goals, and then how to achieve goals. Setting goals and achieving goals are 2 different things. So I create a lot of programs, and I've been doing that for a long time.
If we were to sum up the Bob Proctor ideology or philosophy, is that possible to do? Can you kind of do that? Just give us sort of the high level, and then I want to dive into a lot of this stuff.
Well, I don't really know if you can do that. I believe that we are God's highest form of creation. I believe we've been given creative tools that we habitually have failed to really understand and develop. And so I believe anyone can achieve anything that they can think. Solomon, many, many centuries ago, said that as a person thinketh in their heart, so are they. We become what we think about. All the great teachers have taught that. That's the one point that all great leaders have agreed on. They've disagreed on virtually everything else, but they have agreed on that one point. And so that's really what I teach people. I show them how to control their thinking, how to understand their mind, and how to make changes in their conditioned behavior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, excellent stuff. You know, it all starts with those foundational things. Well, you know, we're all given a set of circumstances, and Voltaire likened life to a game of cards, saying something to the effect of, we can't choose the cards we're dealt, but we must choose how to play those cards in order to win the game. And circumstances do not make the person, do they? It's controlling our thoughts and our own beliefs and self-talk, isn't it?
Yeah, well, James Allen said that. He says, circumstance doesn't make the man, they reveal him to himself. See, our circumstance are the expression of what's going on inside. He said, mind is the master power that molds and makes, and man is mind. And evermore he takes the tool of thought, and shaping what he wills, bring forth 1,000 joys or 1,000 ills. We think in secret, and it comes to pass. Environment is but our looking glass. That's a difficult one to accept for a lot of people, that their environment is their looking glass. It's an expression of what's going on inside. You know,
it's not the other way around, is it? So how do we get control of our thoughts? I mean, some people really struggle with that. You know, you tell them, think differently about this. But, you know, it's not just a matter of saying, do that, is it? Or is it that simple?
No, it's not. It's not. And listen, there's a very small percentage of the population who are in control of themselves. And yet that is one of the key things in life. If people had learned how to take control of themselves, they could have anything they want in their life. And we're not taught enough about ourselves. We've got to learn who we are and what we're doing. And when we start to really understand that, then we're in control. Napoleon Hill said, "The person who masters himself through self-discipline can never be mastered by others." Well, most people are mastered by something that's going on outside. Our thinking really controls us, but our paradigm generally controls our thinking. We don't think thoughts that cause a respectable amount of discomfort. We're conditioned to live the way we live. And if that conditioning doesn't change, the results don't change. And to change the results, it causes a lot of discomfort. People have to understand that. And they have to understand what's involved in changing the conditioning. That's essentially what we teach, Jason.
They sure do. Okay, so I want you to drill down on that, if you would, but explain the concept of paradigm for a moment, if you would.
Well, a paradigm is nothing but a multitude of habits. And if you go back, how did you get here? You were conceived. Your little particle energy from mom, a little particle energy from your dad came together, and they became the nucleus of you. 280 days later, you made your debut on the planet. Now, during that 280 days, you were developing. But you were developing from mom's DNA and dad's DNA. That's called genetic conditioning. That's why you look like your relatives. Then, after birth, our subconscious mind is wide open. Our subconscious mind has no ability to reject. It'll accept anything you give to it. And this subconscious mind was programmed by the people that surround you. We're a product of our environment. We've heard that 1,000 times, and that's why. If you were born in America, you probably grew up speaking English. Pardon me. If you were born in China, you'd probably grow up speaking Chinese. If you were taken out of your home, an English-speaking home, and put into a home in China, you would still grow up speaking Chinese and have no knowledge of the English language. If I had an associate over in Kuala Lumpur, he had a little boy at 4 years old, could speak 4 languages fluently, and no one thought anything of it. Well, the paradigm is that conditioning. It's all the conditioning, genetic and environmental, that has come together. Our self-image is formed before we can even develop the ability to think. And so all that conditioning's in our subconscious mind. 90-some% of the population go through life never changing it. If it's changed, it's changed very little, but no dramatic changes. Every now and then, someone makes a huge change. I was one of those people. I didn't have any idea what I was doing, but I wasn't satisfied with the fact that I had made a huge change. At a particular point, I decided, I want to know, how did this happen? I was earning well over $1 million a year. I had no formal education, 2 months high school. I had no business experience. I was running a company in 7 cities in 3 countries. And I thought, you know, this doesn't make sense. And so I started to study. I wanted to find out what happened. And since that's what I was looking for, that's what I found. Seek and you'll find is good advice.
Right. Yeah. It's really amazing. And I love how you say that. All of the leaders from, you know, every religion, they've all agreed on this thing that we become what we think about, that as we think, so shall we become. But we've got to figure out how to control those thoughts. So, you know, maybe a little more, Bob, on controlling those thoughts, but also, you know, once we know how to control them, we have the toolkit for controlling our thoughts. What should the thoughts be?
Well, first of all, they should be whatever you want them to be. We were given the ability to choose. J. Martin Cooley wrote a marvelous book one time called Your Greatest Power, and your greatest power is the ability to choose. But learning how to control them is a lifelong process. All of nature's creatures respond to outside stimuli. We're being bombarded with colors, with sounds, with people, with all kinds of stuff. Our sensory factors are picking all this up. That's mental activity. Most people refer to that as thinking. It's not thinking at all. The average person doesn't think. Earl Nightingale used to say if the average person said what they were thinking, they would be speechless. We have higher faculties. Einstein put it very well. He said, the intuitive mind is a sacred gift. The rational mind is an obedient servant. We have created a society that is honoring the servant and has forgotten the gift. We have never been taught how to utilize our higher faculties. We have perception, intuition, the will, reason, imagination, and memory. And these higher faculties are what enable us to choose our thoughts, to alter the course of our life, to alter our life, to control our health, to control our wealth, to control our relationships. But we're not taught how to utilize these marvelous tools in school. In fact, they discourage you from using them in many schools. When a child is preschool, their imagination is in high gear. They'll sit and they'll take the top off a pot or something, a little baby, and turn it into something in their mind. We don't know what it is, but they play with almost anything. So their imagination's at work. Then they go to school, and it's called not paying attention or daydreaming, and they're punished. Well, pretty soon, they stop using their imagination. And as a result, we've got enormous corporations worldwide with little tiny creative departments. What they don't understand is the whole company is a creative department. No one's more creative than another. It's just that some are utilizing more of their creative potential than another.
Yeah. So creativity and our culture really, in many ways, has discouraged that. But you know, Bob, in comparison, you know, I always like to say, compared to what? In comparison, when you look at, I think that's one of the huge advantages of the United States and Canada, but the U.S. has really got that like rugged individual thing going on for them, right? Because that's part of the founding. That's the, you know, the conquering the West. It's the whole, it's kind of the part of the American ethic. And that there's just a lot of creativity here, especially when you compare it, especially to say China, for example. You know, very good at copying things, very disciplined. But again, the creativity, that's where the money is. That's where the, you know, it's there's just so much innovation. You know, you look at these tech companies and the, you know, you look at Uber and Lyft and Airbnb and you think, why didn't I think of that? You know, Facebook. I mean, those are simple ideas, relatively speaking. But again, when there was nothing to copy, you had to be pretty creative to come up with that. It was a new paradigm, wasn't it?
Well, creativity is the opposite of routine. And you see, I think we go through phases. The internet brought in an enormous wave of creativity. It was the Wild West. It's a new concept. And it's really just moving into high gear. So there's always been a small group that have been very creative. They don't follow routines. They make breakthroughs. They're always interested in making something better. You see, I always say there's no right way to do anything. It can be a good way. It can be a valid way, but there's always a better way. And America does lead the world in that. I think America is the greatest country in the world. And I think it is because of the innovative ways, the entrepreneurial spirit. And I guess it goes back to how the country was originated. But phenomenal opportunity for people. But that creativity is only really exercised by a minority of the population where everyone could do it. I think our educational system has to change and change dramatically.
Oh, you're darn right about that. It's a mess. I mean, for all the money we've thrown at it, it's still a pretty lame thing.
Well, first of all, we don't have an educational system. We have a system that helps people gather information. Education isn't remembering things. It isn't studying a book and coming up with answers. It comes from the Latin educo, meaning to educe, to develop, or to draw from within. I think Madame Montessori put it best. She said, a child is not like a cup that you try and fill up with knowledge. If a child is like a cup, the cup is full. What we want to do is bring it to the surface. All the knowledge, all the power that there ever was or ever will be is omnipresent. The way to do anything is already here. If you can think it, what you've done is move your mind onto a frequency that it exists on, and then hold that image, and you can actually cause it to manifest.
Yeah. Just a reminder, you're listening to Flashback Friday. Our new episodes are published every Monday and every Wednesday. Very good point. Speaking of manifestation, it's been maybe, 15, 16 years since The Secret. Would love to get your thoughts on that, given that it's been out there for so many years now.
It came out in 2006. It's about 9 years. It was a phenomenal breakthrough. Rhonda Byrne did a tremendous job. It's upwards of half a billion people that it's inundated. It's just bombed their mind, and I think it woke the world up. I think it's made a phenomenal difference. The Secret caused people to think. Now, there was The Secret led people in the wrong direction. In one respect, it teaches you can have anything you want. You don't get anything you want. You get anything that you internalize. You've got to take the want. The want's in the conscious mind, and that's not where the power is. The power is in the subconscious. That's a universal intelligence, and you've got to take that want and deposit it in the treasury of your subconscious, as William James from Harvard used to say. And when you've done that, you move yourself into a new vibration. You set up an attractive force. You move different. Everything starts to happen. The Secret really led people onto that. It's done a phenomenal job.
Yeah, it sure has. You know, Bob, but one of the, I think, the misnomers of The Secret, or the way people have maybe misused the concept is, you know, they've kind of sat back and think, well, if I just keep thinking this, it's going to just drop into my life without work, right? Do you want to kind of drill down on that concept a little bit?
Absolutely. Listen, no amount of thinking or memorizing is going to make a person successful in life. It's the understanding and application of wise thoughts that count. You've got to move into action. You got to get out there and do it. You can sit and think until you're an old, old man or woman, and it's not going to happen. You've got to internalize the thoughts, which produces the action. See, desire is nothing but an idea that has been turned into your emotional, your subconscious mind through repetition. It takes root, and it starts to grow. The Secret came from the book, The Science of Getting Rich, by Wallace Wattles. In that book, he points out that desire is the effort of the unexpressed possibility within, seeking expression without through your action. So you got to build the desire. You got to get whatever it is you want churning in your subconscious. You really got to get white hot with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point. Tell us a little bit about what you're up to nowadays, your latest and greatest venture that you're working on.
Well, first of all, I'm building a studio in my backyard, literally. And the studio is cutting edge. I'm going to be able to press a button and two cameras with 14-inch or 21-inch teleprompters on them come out of the ceiling. There's a couple other cameras on tripods in there. It's in a floating room. It's soundproof. There's a building within the building. And I am going to start pumping out a lot of great work. We'll put a lot of stuff on YouTube. And I'm starting something called the Inner Circle. And the Inner Circle is going to be live. It's going to be broadcast for 2 hours a week. Anyone can join it. It's a membership site, so if they don't happen to be there when we're broadcasting, they can tune into the recording of it. But I'm going to show people how we do what we do. We operate very fast. We have a phenomenal team of people. And if we come up with an idea, that idea is out to market within a week. I mean, we really move fast. We have a design team. We've got a marketing team. We just got a great group of people, and we work very fast. We'll be talking about how I'm prioritizing my day, what I'm doing that particular day, how I'm doing it, the projects that I'm working on, how I do get them to market fast. While the show's on, if I come up with a thought for a book before the show's over, I would have the design of the cover of the book right there with me. It would be done. I'd have the design finished. We'd be able to put it up and show it to everybody. We'd have the outline for the book done. This would all be done in 2 hours. There would be no hanging around till it got ready. We're going to show people how to do it. A lot of people want to know, how do you do this? How do you do that? How do you spend your days? That's what we're going to teach them.
Yeah, fantastic. Excellent, excellent stuff. Bob, you have some good content out there on how to find your purpose. And I think a lot of people struggle with that. Maybe they agree with and they've internalized the concepts you teach and others have taught throughout history about, you know, everything that we've just discussed, whether it be goal setting and, you know, the controlling of the thoughts and the paradigm and so forth. But they don't know where to go with it exactly, you know, what they want in life. How can someone find their purpose?
You know, I think that's probably one of the most important things in the world. Les Brown's a good friend of mine, and he says something that I love, and I've quoted him many times. He said, the two most important days in your life are the day you're born and the day you discover why you're born. A purpose is not something you decide on. It's something you discover. Your purpose is why you get out of bed in the morning. Your purpose is why you're living, why you're here. I believe you and I and everybody else is hardwired to do something exceptional. I think we've got enormous talent locked up within us. And if we don't discover the purpose, it may never be expressed. It'll just go to the grave in us. We've got to sit down and ask ourselves on a regular basis. I recommend a person take 15, 30 minutes every day until this is done. Get a notepad that has nothing in it and don't tear the page out. And sit and ask yourself, just go to a quiet place and sit, what do I really love doing? What do I really love doing? I don't care if it's baking pies. What do you love doing? That's what you should do. That's where your purpose is. And make no mistake about it, if you're doing what you love, you'll do it very well. And if you do very well, you're going to do very well in your life. I was watching a woman one time on TV. She had been a dancer in a chorus line in Vegas. And she finally quit because she knew she wasn't a good enough dancer to be a star, and she didn't want to just stay in a chorus line. And she thought, what else? And she loved to dance. What else do I love to do? I love to bake pastry. So she made up her mind she was going to be a great pastry chef. And she moved to France. And she started to mentor under some of the great pastry chefs of the world. And now she is a great pastry chef. It was an interesting story. So you see, it might be to be a great pastry chef. It might be to be anything. But what do you love to do? Until you recognize that, I don't think you're ever really going to feel fulfilled. And after you decide on your purpose and you decide what you love to do, your vision is how you're going to do it. If you could visualize a funnel going right from your forehead, going out and getting wider, and it's a vision, it's a long-range vision, it would be a multiplicity of goals, and they're all on purpose. Every one of them would be serving your purpose. So the vision is how you're going to execute your purpose, and then your goal is taking a bite out of your vision, because you can only focus on one thing at a time. So you take the first thing out of the vision and say, this I will do. And you discipline yourself and you do it.
Great point. Great point. Before you go, Bob, give out your website if you would, and then I've got another maybe two questions for you quickly.
They can go to ProctorGallagher.com.
Excellent. You talked a little bit about goals earlier at the beginning of the show, and then you just mentioned it again. Some quick advice on goal setting, if you would. You said we can only really focus on one thing at a time.
Goals should be something you really want, Jason. Most people set goals to do what they think they can do. They're playing it safe. They don't want to fail. When you choose the right goal, you will not know how you're going to do it. Steve Jobs put it very well. He said, you cannot connect the dots looking ahead, only looking back. So what you've got to do is, what do I really want? And describe it in the present tense. I'm so happy and grateful now. And describe the goal in the present tense. And then just keep thinking of how you can. And the ideas will start to come to you.
And only one goal at a time, really? I mean,
just one. If you made a shopping list of all the things you want, the goal would be the one you want the most. You see, it's already here. It's on a higher frequency. And what you've got to do is raise your conscious awareness to that frequency. But moving towards it, probably everything else on your list will fall into place as you go towards the thing you want.
That is usually how it works, an amazing level of synchronicity. Bob, you know, just any closing remarks, any questions I didn't ask you, anything you want to share with the audience that we didn't touch on during this talk?
There's a quote that I love. It's by Dean Briggs. And if a person's struggling, if they're having a problem, this is a quote that I always play with. He said, do your work. Not just your work and no more, but a little more for the lavishing sake. That little more which is worth all the rest. And if you suffer as you must, and you doubt as you must, do your work. Put your heart into it, and the sky will clear, and out of your very doubt and suffering will be born the supreme joy of life. When I faced with a challenge, that's what I keep repeating. Do your work. Go to work. Do your work. Not just your work and no more, but a little more for the lavishing sake. That'll get a person through the hurdles.
That is some excellent, excellent advice. Bob Proctor, so nice to talk with you today. Keep up the good work on your part. Website, proctorgallagher.com. Thanks again for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you, Jason.
I've never really thought of Jason as subversive, but I just found out that's what Wall Street considers him to be.
Really? Now, how is that possible at all?
Simple. Wall Street believes that real estate investors are dangerous to their schemes because the dirty truth about income property is that it actually works in real life.
I know. I mean, how many people do you know, not including insiders, who created wealth with stocks, bonds, and mutual funds? Those options are for people who only want to pretend they're getting ahead.
Stocks and other non-direct traded assets are a losing game for most people. The typical scenario is you make a little, you lose a little, and spin your wheels for decades.
That's because the corporate crooks running the stock and bond investing game will always see to it that they win. This means, unless you're one of them, you will not win.
And unluckily for Wall Street, Jason has a unique ability to make the everyday person understand investing the way it should be. He shows them a world where anything less than a 26% annual return is disappointing.
Yep, and that's why Jason offers a one-book set on creating wealth that comes with 20 digital download audios. He shows us how we can be excited about these scary times and exploit the incredible opportunities this present economy has afforded us.
We can pick local markets untouched by the economic downturn, exploit packaged commodities investing, and achieve exceptional returns safely and securely.
I like how he teaches you how to protect the equity in your home before it disappears and how to outsource your debt obligations to the government.
And this set of advanced strategies for wealth creation is being offered for only $197.
To get your Creating Wealth Encyclopedia Book 1, complete with over 20 hours of audio, go to jasonhartman.com/store.
If you want to be able to sit back and collect checks every month just like a banker, Jason's Creating Wealth Encyclopedia series is for you. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, all rights reserved. For distribution or publication rights and media interviews, please visit www.hartmanmedia.com or email media@hartmanmedia.com. Nothing on this show should be considered specific personal or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own, and the host is acting on behalf of Platinum Properties Investor Network, Inc., exclusively.